Are we ready, Jen?
Yes, we are ready, Judith. Get yourself ready. Get yourself sorted. Are you dressed? Are you dressed? Are you up and dressed?
Of course I'm dressed. Been up for hours.
I only just made it to the podcast dressed. I have to say,
it's
I was a couple
10
of minutes late.
O'clock.
No, I'm not. I was eating because we were going to record this at 10:15. I was still eating my boiled egg on toast at 9:43. At 9:43, I thought, bloody hell, I'm going to have to.
We are different.
Well, we are very different, Judith, and that is the joy of it.
It wouldn't be good
if we were exactly the same, because then we'd get really competitive. And if you were really like me, then I'd go over the top in trying to be sort of more slobby and sort of not getting up and not doing anything. And
would you?
That
is that
kind.
The way you'd
yeah.
go?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And if I was more like you, we'd be so brusque together, and we'd be swimming the channel every morning. It'd be horrific. It would be.
I don't
horrific.
Know which is worse. I think the latter is probably worse.
No, I think there's a nice place in the middle that we both strive to get to that neither of us can quite reach.
Yes, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I do.
It's like everybody. Really... Everybody needs to sort of be able to sort of tone themselves down a bit and then turn the dial back up when appropriate.
Right. Very good. Very.
There you go.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. So, are you well? Are you well?
Yes. Yeah. 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 I'm okay. I'm okay.
Oh dear. Don't sound. Oh, why? What's happened?
I've had a shit morning.
Oh, I've had a shit week. It's something not talk about. Well, no, the dishwasher's broken. I mean, you know, how can you be happy when you've got a broken dishwasher?
I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
When you wake up in the morning. I mean, one of the reasons why I don't get up that easily. I mean, we'll go to Hypochondriac Corner later, but, you know, I've still got... The knee is still hanging by a thread, Judith.
Is it clicking?
Yeah. It's not clicking. No, it's. I think it's sort of... It's unscrewed itself somehow. I don't know. Ooh. It's really difficult
to explain.
Is it
giving way? I've heard people say that joints give way. Is that what's happening?
Once on the stairs earlier this week, I had one of those chaotic falls with a cup of coffee.
I did a bit.
I wasn't using that because I don't use handrails. So I'm just walking upstairs with a cup of coffee and suddenly I'm sprawled, Judith. I'm sprawled and there's coffee everywhere.
Blimey.
How boring is that?
Well, you're going to have to start using the bloody stair rails, aren't you?
Well, I'm going to have to see a physiotherapist or get a new knee. And if I get new knees, I'm not having shit knees. I want good knees. I've had these fucking appalling knees for 60 years. If I'm going to have new, I'm going to pay extra and get really nice ones. I'm going to get...
super duper ones.
Yeah, I'll get supermodel knees. So that's why I'm a bit miserable, Judith. And then what's happening is because I'm compensating for my bad knee, the hip is starting to twinge.
Oh, God.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Do you suffer poor joints? Do you have any of that problem? You used to have a bad back.
I did. Well, I had such a bad back that for years, when I used to do the Transpennine Express from Newcastle to Leeds to the office, I used to lie in the mail, you know, the guard compartment. I did.
I bet you did. On some sacking with some guards.
Yeah, we used to have a roll-up thing. We used to have a proper roll-up yoga mat. They all knew me. I did. Now we're talking about hypochondria. I'm sorry.
We'll
really
kick the show off with Hypochondria Corner.
Shall we?
We normally wait till the middle of the show, but, you know, things
wait.
Are pressing. We can't wait.
We can't wait. We can't wait.
No.
Right, you've had a little go. Okay, so me and my... Yeah, I did. I had a very bad back when I was in my, 30s and 40s, really. And some bloke in Newcastle did a scan, you know, all that. And he said, well, you're going to have your two things fused. You know, you're going to have this big operation.
Is this for your discs? Do you mean your discs?
Yeah.
Spinal discs?
Two of the things at the bottom. Big operation, lots of risk. He said, well, you could try with physio. And for years, I did have a bad back, but, you know, I used to get bored in meetings and I used to peel off and lie on the floor. I used to forever finding excuses to leave the theatre when I was bored or find somewhere to lie down. Mm-hmm. But I started to swim, and that's why I started to swim. I thought, well, okay, you know, I'll kind of keep moving it. And actually, I'm not saying it would work for everybody. Of course it wouldn't. But it kind of, you know, it's why I swim every day. It just keeps it moving. And sort of it's all right. I'm touching wood.
Well, I'm touching wood on your behalf. Well, maybe I should. The thing is, I think swimming would be good for me. But I don't think at the moment with this knee, I can do the breaststroke.
No,
I think I'd have
else.
To do the kicky knee. I've got to get myself sorted. I tell you what, when I've got a slightly bigger, what happens with this tour at the moment is I keep having 3-day gaps. And then I do all the things I've got to do in those 3 days. And then I think, oh, time to make an appointment with someone to see about my knee. And I don't quite have time, but I've got to stop making excuses. I keep expecting to wake up feeling whole again. I'm just a little bit cross about it because it's sort of, I don't know, it's just annoying, that's what it is.
It is annoying.
About more hypochondria in my corner this week.
Oh, yes.
God,
yes.
Judith.
Go on. What you got?
Well, this was an extraordinary thing. I was going out to meet my friend Julie Ballou yesterday.
Yes, saw the nice photos.
Lovely. To the Hayward Gallery.
Like your Mac and your scarf look, but yeah, go on.
Oh, well, I've been wearing that Mac. That's Jeff's old Mac. Do you remember? That's the Mac that cost £800 back in the 1980s that Jeff bought from Italy.
Very nice.
Well, it still looks brand new. It's the one that got stuck in the car door. Do you remember? In the,
yes, I forgot.
In the boot door of the Range Rover. Oh, I'm sounding so posh now. In the Range Rover. And we had to have the car taken apart to get the coat out. Oh, do you not remember? They had to unscrew the Range Rover.
I forgot that it was that bad. That reminds me. Do you remember Jasper Carrot used to do those funny insurance claim examples?
No.
You know, the kind of ridiculous.
I didn't used to watch Jasper Carrot.
The competition. Well, because as a fellow Brummy, I always liked Jasper. But he used to, he did a whole routine about, sorry, I just break off briefly. He did a whole routine about people's kind of, the things people put on insurance claim forms. Ridiculous stories about white things. So you can imagine, can't you? Somebody putting the car, a Mac got stuck in the car boot. We
but
had
the
to
world's
take it apart.
Most expensive Mac that is now even more expensive because you can put that. Okay, so it cost. Well, I don't know whether it's £800. I mean, I plucked that number from the sky.
It was
let's
a lot.
Face it.
Yes,
it was a lot of money back in the 1980s when Jeff was made the art editor of the TV Times. He thought, right, I'd better have a smart Mac. And he went to some posh place and got a smart Mac. So, you know, and then put the £500 or however much it cost, I think it was probably more than that, to have the car taken apart to get it out of the... Ridiculous.
So it does look very nice on you. Anyway, go back. Yeah. So you had a
so
nice
anyway,
day.
So
anyway,
so I was about to have a nice day with Julie, and it looked a bit like rain. I thought I'll wear my new Blunston boots, which are very, very comfortable, and I've grown to rather like because I was a bit initially. I was a bit. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
A little bit. And so I peeled. I had a sock on, and then I put the boot on, and the stabbing pain. A pain that took my breath away, Judith. It took my breath away. It was like being stabbed with glass in the foot. And
I
thought,
what that is?
Jesus fucking hell. And I'd used my bus app, so I only had 3 minutes to get myself sorted and down to the bus stop. So I took my boot off, and what was in it?
A dead wasp.
A wasp! Yes,
no.
Was crawling around, very, very, very tired. And
really?
I got it squashed because of shoving my foot into the boot. So obviously it stung me. So I had to put it out of its misery with the boot. And then I thought, well, I haven't got time to clear that up. I'll have to deal with that later. So I just left it.
So you'd been stung. So basically you've been stung.
Very badly
heel.
Stung. No, no, on the top of the foot, oddly
on
enough.
The top of,
yes, twice.
Because I was thinking gout. You know, obviously, as a hypochondriac, the moment you describe that, I'm kind of, you know, ideas are flooding in.
Yeah. Plantar fasciitis or gout.
Indeed.
Yes.
Or gout. Those were my two first first choice ideas.
Bog standard wasp sting.
An injury.
Yes, absolutely.
An injury.
And I just thought, it's still itching and stinging. The only thing I could find for it, because I was in a hurry, as I say, I was on my bus app. And that was my Vagisan cream, you know, because it takes the itch out of front bottoms. So I just grabbed some Vagisan and slathered it over my foot and hoped for the best. Limped off down to the bus stop.
With your Vagisan on?
Vagisan on my foot. So
ingenious.
There we go.
Okay, so that was an injury. Have you got anything else? We'll
finish off the hypochondriac's corner with our booster jab bookings. Are you booked in?
Well, I am booked in, but I had my flu jab yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I didn't feel 100% actually this morning, which is annoying because actually, you know, I'd much rather do my booster jab, and I'm not sure whether, and now don't know whether I should have a booster jab tomorrow.
Of course you should, but yeah.
Do you think I should?
Yeah, they're doing them both together. I mean, if you feel a bit ill, it doesn't matter if you feel a bit ill for 3 days.
Yeah, I live with that.
Yeah. When you say not feeling 100%, have you got a very, because when I had my flu jab, I had a very sore arm. But I didn't have any other side of that.
Yeah, but that's okay. I can live with that. Yeah. Mind you, Mike had them both done together and he couldn't sleep all night. They couldn't roll over on either side. So, you know, it's not great, is it?
Well, it could save his life. So, you're going to put these things into context. So when's your booster jab?
Tomorrow.
Oh, have it. You'll be fine. Back to bed this afternoon. Just have an easy day. Take it easy today. Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. You just never take a duvet day, Judith. You really don't take a duvet day.
I don't, but if you're prescribing it...
I'm prescribing it. And that's doctor's orders. I've got my booster jab on the 16th and I cannot wait.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it? It's good.
I will feel so much more confident. I really will, because I know... Because I had the AstraZeneca and that's the efficacy. Efficacy.
For what?
The efficacacy. Isn't that what you know? Efficacy. That's what they say about
efficacy. Efficacy.
Oh, that's probably right. Yeah, the efficacy it really wanes with the AstraZeneca.
Does it?
It wanes a lot more than the Pfizer. Okay. Yeah.
But how do you know which one you're going to get, or are they all the same?
They don't do the AstraZeneca for a booster.
Oh, you've looked that up. You know that.
Yeah. Not having, you know, it's Pfizer all the way for the booster, or maybe Moderna. I don't know. I don't really mind. But they've sorted it out, and cannot wait to have that booster. Yeah. Jeff's got it, but he has had that super cold. I mean, absolutely riddled with the super cold.
Has he?
I mean, he's had it for 10 days now, and I mean, he's gone off to. He's got a stall at this uber posh. It's on today, which is we're recording on Thursday, and it's on tomorrow. So if you're in Somerset, it's at Backham. You know,
I know about that place. It's incredibly posh.
Yes, he's at Backham Village Hall, which is with people like Pearl Lowe and all that kind of mob. And I think maybe. Does Kate Moss live down there?
I think they all live down there. Because the kids go to Millfield and all that stuff, don't they? And
then whatever, yeah. So anyway, Jeff's got a stall at this sort of, you know, the uber Village Hall Christmas, pre-Christmas
fair. Christmas fair. What, and they're selling great bits of art? Bloody
hell. Well, no, he's taking his smaller stuff. I mean, he will be one of the few stalls doing... stuff his size. I mean, I'm a bit worried about it because I think it's an odd day, Thursday and Friday. I mean, why aren't these women at work?
All these people at work.
They don't work, do they? Shopping, Thursday and Friday, shopping days. Anyway, so he's taking his smaller stuff and his and some posters, some of his original mid-century posters.
Well, he's not going to come back with lavender bags, though, is he? He's not going to come with Christmas fair. He's going to come back with a Christmas pudding and some lavender bags.
Can you imagine? I actually love a lavender bag, actually, myself.
Did you?
I do love a lavender bag. I really like a scented drawer. I once bought some scented drawer linings.
I did that once.
Just like that, because I love nice smells and I've got quite a good sense of smell. It's about one thing in me that works.
I
find it delightful. I find anything like that delightful.
What's your favourite smell? What smells?
Well, I like rose smells. I obviously like my own perfume because a lot of perfume goes very rancid on me because I'm very bad tempered. And it's a thing that usually happens to menopausal women, but it's never stopped happening with me. So
is it? Is that a thing?
Oh,
really?
Yeah, definitely. Didn't know that. Hormones. Hormones, love, isn't it? Hormones. I like my perfume, which is Portrait of a Lady by Frederick Malle. And I will wear nothing else.
I will wear nothing else
because nothing else suits me. It goes nasty on me. Anyway, can I tell you something else?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, this is an admission, Judith.
Oh, I'm liking it already.
It's a shameful admission, and it's a failure. It's an admission of failure. We have both admitted that we hate the new dark plum colour in the bathroom.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
We just went up there to view, and there was this sort of silence.
Right.
And I just thought, I'm going to have to say, I said, I'm not keen. He said, I hate it.
You said it first.
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember. It was sort of like, but it was such a relief. And the quality of the paint isn't very good. And when you see it from one side, it's got smudges. So it's going to, I've got three tester pots.
What's wrong with it? Hold on a minute. What's, why don't you like it?
Well, okay. It looks like a massive blood stain or a beetroot eater's dirty protest.
Quite something.
Yeah,
it did look dark. I have to say it did. And you know what I said about the toothpaste splashes as
I'm
well?
I'm not fussed
you know?
About toothpaste splashes because those will wipe off if anybody's so sloppy as to spray toothpaste all over. Just step back a bit. Just step back while you clean your teeth up there. it'll still be dark, I think. There are three colours. I'm either going a very dark grey, which would be very smart because it's going to be a guest suite now. We're not going to have... Jeff's not going up there.
A change of plan.
Yeah, yeah. I think he just felt too guilty to enjoy it because I was sort of taking the moral high ground of not being disappointed that it wasn't mine, but sort of just being gracious, being very gracious.
Gracious, likeable and gracious and agreeable.
He couldn't stand it.
Very impressed. He was unnerved, wasn't he?
He was so unnerved. He said, I don't think I want to take my study up there. Let's make it a really nice guest suite. So either a dark grey or a very dark rose or, because it was very bright pink before, but so a dark grown-up rose or a hot orange.
Ooh, hot orange. No doubt about it, a hot orange.
I'm very tempted by the hot orange. Sent off for a Farrow & Ball's Charlotte's Locks. That's the name of the paint, Charlotte's Locks.
Have they changed all the names? It's a new one.
No, I think there are some new paints. Oh. So this one, I don't know what you'd call a hot orange in sort of old-fashioned Farrow & Ball speak.
It's sludge and slime. It's normally, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, grungy, sludgy.
Ones.
Yeah, minge, you know, flange, you know, all that kind of thing.
But, oh, God. Well, that sounds good to me.
And
go
then,
on.
Just to finish off Hypochondriac's Corner, right? So it was, I've had this quite sort of Twitter debate going on about the paint colours. And then my friend Chris George, he used to be my tour manager and then joined
Lovely
the civil
Chris
service
George.
During the crisis, the corona crisis. He had an infected finger and he said, oh, you could go for this lime green. He sent me a picture of his infected finger. I have never seen anything like it in
my life. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's had to be drained.
We'd have liked to have been there, wouldn't we?
Not me. I can't
up
do
a
that.
Chair.
He said there is a video available, but I said, no, thank you.
Did you? I'm impressed.
I can't do that. No, I can't do that. I can't do pus. No, I can't. No, can't do
I
that.
I thought you... You're a part-time spot picker, aren't you?
Yeah, possibly, but not anybody else's.
My vote goes for the hot orange, I have to say. And then, of course, you could get hot orange towels, and you could get flannels and a bath mat, you know.
You've gone matchy-matchy. If I got the dark grey, I'd go orange on towels then maybe. It depends. I don't know. I'd have to see it in situ. I'm going to have some fun.
You're going to have some patches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've got to try your patches. So that's that. Okay. And on the good news front, the best cleaner in the world is back.
Did she ring?
I didn't put her in that position. I got back onto her boss and said, you know, we really like all the cleaners you send us, but Lucy is very much our favourite. Right. And it'd be great. So she now comes at 8 a.m. on Mondays, which is a bit mental, but it's fine because she just gets on with things, right? She just gets
well,
on
does
with
she let
it.
Herself in? And you're
no,
you're,
she hasn't got keys yet, but they're going, you know, I'm going to slip her a set very soon. And but last week Jeff was just having his breakfast and he said to Lucy in hand gestures, 5 minutes, Lucy, because he was in her way. She went outside, she swept the drive. She then got an armful of firewood from our log stack outside, brought it indoors, and honestly, Judith, she laid us a fire.
Oh, wow.
Honestly, like something out of fucking Downton. She laid us a fire in the grate for later.
Has she drawn you a bath yet?
Not yet, but I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And then she can sit on the lavatory with a hot towel waiting for me to get out.
Oh, she sounds wonderful. Oh, I'm so pleased she's come back. That's brilliant.
So honestly, I just lavish praise upon her head all the time.
And I like the strategy of ringing up the agency and saying, we like all of the people that you send back. She's our favourite. Very nice.
And also, Lucy's got the same size feet as me. So she's had a pair of old trainers. And I'm just sort of trying to find things now for Lucy.
That she might like.
And I just leave them in a special place.
Oh, do you?
So that's all good. Now then, so have you got good news or any news? Or what's going on in your... You've been quite quiet, Judith.
Well, yes, I've had some... Well, we've had some very, very big news since I spoke to you last.
I know it because I couldn't wait. But go on, you tell the gang because they'll be desperate to know.
Okay, so last week we had Ellen's 30th. And if you remember, Sienna and James were having the scan which showed the gender of the twins.
Yeah. What week scan is this, by the way? Is it 20 weeks?
It's 20 years, so she's halfway. Oh, I think she might be more than halfway because I don't think she'll go to the end. Well, she hope not really. Anyway, what Ellen wanted, because it's obviously it was her 30th birthday, we all had drinks beforehand and then we had a meal. And she wanted Sienna and James to reveal the gender in the cakes, you know, like they do now with the kind of gender reveal cakes.
Well, it's a very American thing, but we've copied. Yes, yes, it's a new thing that they do. So you have a cake, and it looks you can't tell what the sex is, and then you open the cake, and is it sort of red or blue,
pink
or something?
Or blue icing? Yeah, absolutely. So Sienna and James, they actually didn't know. So they said to the hospital, don't tell us what they are, but, you know, give us, they always give you the notes, apparently. So it'll be in the notes, so we want to reveal it at the table, which...
Oh, you know, my goodness, that's incredible of them.
I know. That's so generous.
Well,
I did say, look, are you absolutely sure? But yes, that's what they wanted to see. It's particularly what Sienna wanted to do. So anyway, so we have drinks beforehand, very nice, American bar near Piccadilly. So we did that, and then we went to Ellen's favourite Thai restaurant, which is all very sort of trendy, and there's lots of... it's quite dark, mind you, and quite difficult to hear. You know, the oldies were fan difficult. Anyway, so we got to the table, and so Sienna said to Aaron, right, okay, here are the notes. If you could have a look, and then she got four cakes, and they were going to take them to, you know, then Aaron's job was to take them to the kitchen and say, right, here's what it is. You bring out the right cakes. I mean, bloody hell, quite a responsibility.
Four cakes? Wouldn't it have to be three?
Four, didn't it? No. Well, was it three? Four.
Three, Judith. There's three possibilities. Yeah, it's either two boys, right. two girls, or one of each.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, so three cakes.
So Aaron found a corner of the restaurant that was kind of had a bit of light in it. Poor man. took his chair and, you know, started to go through.
So he knew first.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah. So he started to do that, but he couldn't find. I mean, he didn't know what he was looking at. It was masses of things, and obviously everybody in the restaurant was starting to sort of think, well, what's he doing in the corner looking at that? So we had to kind of explain to the two tables next to us, this is what was happening. Anyway, the one table said, look, you know, one of us is a medic. Don't worry, you know, bring it over here. So then the whole table started to go through it.
So this is half the restaurant knowing before you do.
Yes, yes. And obviously they were sworn to secrecy. Don't say anything out loud. Okay, they've got it. Right, so off. Yeah. Aaron went, you know, to give it to the kitchens to bring the right ones out. He sat there, obviously, was the only person in the table that knew, as well as the other two tables.
This is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
It was weird. So anyway, we had the meal and then said, okay, right, it's time. So Sienna sliced into the first one, a boy.
Yay!
And then James sliced into the other one, a boy.
Two boys. Are you already thinking
two
names?
Boys.
Do you sometimes lie in bed at night think names? Do you sometimes do that?
A bit of that, but much more, Jelly, is that, and I don't know whether you would feel the same way, it's because we had girls. I don't know.
Quite frightened of boys. Quite frightened of boys. But everyone I know that had little boys say they're actually much easier than little girls and just such, you know, really good fun. Yeah. I mean, my mother adored Benjamin. I mean, I think he made her laugh as a baby and a toddler much more than either Sarah or I did because we were sort of. No, I think, yeah, he was just a sort of quite easygoing, lovable little chap. Yeah, he was a really lovely little boy. Yeah. Actually, I mean, he's he's a terrible man. No, he's not. He's still a nice man, actually. But he was a really lovely little boy. Yes, he was an adorable little brother when I think back.
So, I think they're more straightforward, aren't they? People do say they're more straightforward and girls are much trickier.
I think that actually it's all down to the individual. I just don't think... I mean, we think one of the good things about these days with sort of gender being much more fluid and all that kind of thing and people being able to make up their own minds and all that kind of thing is I just don't think those rules apply anymore. And I think that, you know... Girls and boys, they find their own gender or sex, I don't know what you're allowed to say now, quite themselves, don't they? I mean, but I have a dear girlfriend with twins who are now five or six, and they're boy-girl.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, you know, she bought them exactly the same things. She was really, really sort of, you know, there was no pink, there was no blue. Yeah. It was all yellow and orange and all this kind of thing. But as soon as they were old enough to pick their own toys, the little girl went totally down the doll route and the little boy went totally down the train route. And she said it was the most shocking thing to her ever. Yeah. And she couldn't believe it.
Interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, but then, you know, there's plenty of little boys who like colouring in and cutting things up.
I
hope so. Oh, yes, yes. You just encourage that sort of side of them.
Yeah.
But you're also really, you know, you'll dunk them in a pool. You'll have them swimming by the time they're 6 months old and all that sort of thing.
I mean, I don't know. You don't have to do that. I don't know about
they don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to encourage it. If they really want to do it, they have to do it by themselves.
Because I kind of pictured myself, you know, at the kitchen counter, sort of making gingerbread men and all of that.
Well, that's what you do with boys. That's what you do with boys.
Yeah,
totally.
I hope so.
Have you seen? I tell you, who's adorable. Jamie Oliver's little boy, the littlest one. I can't remember his name, Buddy or whatever. I can't remember. He's just a little mite, and he just does cookery. He does his own cookery videos.
Does he?
Yes, and he's so adorable. He's really good as well. I think, you know, we must get away from that sort of slightly 50s, 60s, 50s for you, 60s for me, view of what little boys do and what little girls do.
I suppose. It's different. For me, it's just
It's just buying underpants and not knickers, isn't it? It's sort of, yes, I know what you mean. It's that sort of thing.
It's just different. It's different. So
it's different and it's going to be so exciting. I think you'll get a huge amount out of it. And I think you'll absolutely... Because my friend, beautiful Frances, she's got two boy grandchildren and absolutely besotted by them both.
Is she?
Absolutely. The sweetest. You know, and they'd have different characters and that... I mean, I just think, I mean, you will be inundated with emails from people now just saying, you know, this, it is, yeah, because, I mean, I only had one child and that was a girl. And, you know, I would swallow a bit and think, crikey, what am I going to do? But I just think that things have changed so much and I don't think you have to think football. I don't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think they are more energetic, aren't they? They are.
Yeah, but
sometimes.
So are you. You're like a great big Labrador.
I think they're like Poppy. Poppy, I think, you know, eventually will be their favourite toy, won't she, really?
Oh, yeah, yes. I mean, you are funny. You're sort of already thinking, well, what can I do with them? Well, I've got Poppy.
I am.
They're going to be babies for a little. They will be sort of just lying about doing fuck all for quite a long time, Judith.
I know. Well, I hope so, for Sienna's sake, really, don't you? I mean, God!
She'll
it's going to be difficult.
She'll cope because
I'm sure
people
she will.
Do. People sure do. Will. They I'm really sure do. Will. And then it's sort of, as you know, as we all know, as they get a bit older and they've got each other for company.
Yes.
And all that sort of thing.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, having an only child sometimes quite, you know, does make you feel quite guilty because sometimes she just looks so hungrily at brothers and sisters and
and
coming home from school and getting out of the, you know, she was on a school run with other kids and all that and sort of. Just, it did sometimes strike me that, oh God, yes, oh, she's a bit lonely now, so I'm going to go and have to play with her.
Well, I don't think either of us have been very good at playing with little ones, have we? But I think as a grand, yeah, we did. So yes, that's my big news.
Yeah. So now the one thing we have to do before we go to Culture Corner.
Yeah.
By the way, we must admit that we stand corrected on statins, don't we, Judith?
Oh yeah, we did. Yeah, we got our knuckles wrapped about that, didn't we? Because yes, yeah, apparently they're not to do with a risk of stroke. They are to do with cholesterol. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And is your cholesterol high? I think
it has been. It has been. And I got through to the nice doctor again.
Oh, God.
It takes ages because everybody else is after him. Yeah. You have to kind of get on the phone immediately. No, he said, won't give me any. Well, you don't need them.
No, you really don't. Yeah. Okay, so a memorable meal this week. Well, I think you've just said what yours was, you know, finding out what the grandchildren are. I think that's a pretty memorable meal.
It certainly was. Although I have got an actual meal that I wouldn't mind talking about, but yes.
Oh, no, go on. Give us your actual meal.
Yeah. No, the actual meal, because somebody emailed us, didn't they, to say, don't forget your memorable meals. You know, we do like that.
It's become a thing.
It's becoming a thing, absolutely. Now, my memorable meal, I don't do this very often, is I cut out something from the Sunday Times, you know, that kind of feast bit or whatever. Mouth's watering already, even in anticipation of describing this meal. Okay, and it was a gratin.
Yeah.
A root vegetable gratin
with
sage and anchovy in it, okay?
Oh.
So I kind of improvised. I didn't have the kind of same ones that they had in the recipe, but I did celeriac, you know, sort of cut horizontally. And
Sliced,
but not downwards, so horizontally. And I put some carrots and I put some potatoes. Mm. And then I put the, so it was double cream and two anchovies chopped up in it, some sage from the garden, and a little bit of stock. So, and that, so you do that, and that obviously
what
that
kind of stock?
It.
A vegetable stock.
A bouillon. I think it's called a bouillon.
A bouillon.
I like saying that. Bouillon. And then you put breadcrumbs on the top and a bit of cheese. Jenny. Oh, it was good.
Well, what Amazing. Sort of cheese? It's okay. I'm not 100% any kind of cheese.
I think you put any kind of cheese. Well, maybe blue cheese would be a bit sickly, but
leave the blue cheese out. Yeah. So what you just did? A bit of cheddar. A bit of strong cheddar. Very nice. Very nice. Okay.
Used up a bit of stale bread.
And what did you have? What did you have on the side? Did you have a chop?
No, we don't. We try not to eat too much meat because since COP26, Ellen has sent us all a WhatsApp saying, this is an emergency, stop eating so much meat, which is quite right. So, no, we had a vegetarian evening with a bit of corn. Corn can be a bit mixed, can't it?
I've never done corn. No.
Have you not?
What are the two things? There's corn and there's tofu, isn't there? I know Phoebe's desperately allergic to tofu.
Is she? Well, I was.
I once was the voice of corn on television for a little while. There was a corn advert. Yeah. And I had
that. Did they not give you loads of it for free?
No, they didn't. It wasn't like Vagisan. I didn't get a truck full of little samples. I used to have I used to do quite a lot of voiceovers. They've gone off the boil a bit recently. Oh, annoying.
Oh, they'll come back. They'll come
well,
back.
Let's hope so.
Easy
money.
God, yes, it must be.
So, yes, well, my memorable meal, let me just think. Mm.
Oh,
good
to think.
Mm. It's because I've been on tour a bit and I haven't cooked anything from scratch for ages, to be quite honest with you. But this week I managed to get hold of a Sainsbury's Taste the Difference fish pie, had been absent from the shelves for months because of, you know, the food shortages. I mean, you go into our Sainsbury's and the ready meal section is dramatically bad.
It's getting bad here now. It wasn't great, big gaping holes
in the ready meals. You know, people like me will be forced to learn how to cook one day. But we had the Sainsbury's Taste the Difference fish pie, and Phoebe came and shared it because I got the extra large, and she just so happened to be nearby, and she came and she shared the fish pie.
What do you have with that?
Fish pie.
It was no, but you must have
peas. Peas, yes, peas and spinach. Okay. Peas and spinach. Okay. Yes, yes, yeah. Okay. Oh, I didn't have a chop on the side. I didn't do that.
I thought you might have gone long-stemmed broccoli. You know.
Yes. Yes, that's quite a fast
sugar,
though, isn't
it? Peas.
Oh no. I don't really know. That's veg you have to cook. I only do when I'm as lazy as I am about cooking, Judith. I don't even cook or blanch the spinach. I just put a handful of raw spinach at the bottom. I line the bowl with spinach. Blob on the fish pie, and then frozen peas that have been microwaved.
Hold on a minute.
Bob's your uncle.
You don't cook the spinach. So wait a minute. You put the raw spinach on the
bottom of the bowl.
Yeah.
That's how me and Phoebe like it. We like our spinach raw at the bottom of the bowl, like a heap of lettuce sort of thing. Just a heap of leaves.
Wilted. You're talking wilted.
It wilts as soon as the fish pie goes on because the fish pie is hot. You don't need to fuck about with it before that, though, do you?
Because it is a bit of a bloody palaver, actually.
It goes to nothing.
Yeah, it does.
So
it does.
It is. Leave it.
That's a nice tip, that is. I like that tip. I'm taking that.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't take many from you, but
not in the cook. Not from cooking corner.
No.
I think we're going now to Culture Corner.
Oh, yes, we're going to Culture Corner. Yes.
What have you got for me, Judith?
What have I got? Well, in terms of telly, I stumbled across a very good Storyville documentary on BBC iPlayer.
Oh, yes, you're good at these.
Yes, I know. It's a little corner I sometimes, you know, have a little explore of. And it's called I Am Greta, and it's about, obviously, Greta Thunberg. And the extraordinary thing is, it started filming pretty much when she did her first strike. And so when she's 15. So it really covers her for 3 years. And her dad really follows her around everywhere, kind of doing everything.
Do you think he's pushy dad? Was there any point where you thought, oh, dad, here comes dad?
Oh, no, definitely not. Okay. Definitely not. But I think he must have filmed a lot of it. And then in the credits... they obviously credited Swedish Broadcasting, so they must have actually trained him, I think, with a camera. But on the other hand, he was in it sometimes, so sometimes they must have had a crew. But the access that they had, so basically starting out, you know, the first few people that would stop and talk to her, building up, and her kind of going away from home, missing her dogs, trying to do her homework, all the journeys she did by train, and then sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger saw her first. And retweeted one of her kind of addresses. And that's when it started to get really
global. Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So then it culminates in the transatlantic journey to New York, which obviously we all knew about, didn't we? But it kind of follows them on the boat. And but they decided to go with this tiny, tiny thing. It's almost like a kind of tea tray with a tent on the top, the three of them. Her dad.
Terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. I mean, some of the footage where you can see in the middle of the night the kind of the size of the waves, and it's just bashing. No kind of stabilizers. 2.5 weeks of it. 2.5 weeks. Terrifying. And she's very scared and her dad's scared. Oh, it is very, very powerful. But I suppose what it made me think in the end is, and it's what she's sort of, you know, people have started to criticise her for, is that I suppose the pleas got more and more impassioned and more emotional, which is an interesting thing, isn't it? It's like, can you, you know, does she lose credibility when she loses it emotionally? Possibly. But also I think people, I mean, Macron says it on camera, what do you want us to do? What exactly is it that you're proposing that you want us to do? And well, she's never said.
Well, how can she? She's just a young girl. There is no one solution.
She knows. She's one of the most well-read. She's got a photographic memory and she knows stuff. She knows all about it. But I suppose what she's done, perhaps, is made a strategic decision not to actually say, this is what you would need to do, but just to stand back and say, whatever it is you need to do, bigger time. Because otherwise, I suppose people can say, well, you can't do that because, do you know what I mean? So it made me think a lot.
But I think that if there is a sort of solution, then she's got to, you know, we've got to be told.
Well, yes. The point is, it's not anything.
It's not any one thing.
It's a mixture of things.
The absolute sadness is that we've got to this point, isn't it? The absolute sadness. And then on top of it, a great big global pandemic. I mean, it's kind of like this huge whammy of shit.
Yeah,
I wonder whether we'll ever feel really free again. really carefree again. Anyway, on that note, let's go to, I'll do my telly.
Yes.
I'm really enjoying Handmade the Woodwork show with Mel Goodrich. Yes. I'm really enjoying it. And I finished Squid Games. Oh my, I really liked Squid Games. I don't think it's suitable for children. I don't know how you stop your children from watching it, but it is a great thing for grown-ups. That's got some layers to it as well. That makes you think about money and, you know, the ridiculousness of it all.
Yeah.
And I'm quite enjoying, but not on the same level, Impeachment and Show Trial.
Yes.
I've got a fabulous book at the moment, which I started last week. And I would encourage lots of people to give it a go. I've got it on Audible. I always find that much easier for many reasons. This is the Amor Towles, the Lincoln Highway.
Oh, yeah.
And it's meticulously researched. It's beautifully written. And it's no surprise that it's top of the New York booksellers chart. I didn't realise that when I started reading it.
Remind me what it's about, Jenny.
It's a road journey. It's a road journey. It's a great big storybook. It's full of adventure. It's characters. It's family. It's wonderful. It's a gorgeous. It's gorgeously read. It's possibly my favourite book this year.
Wow.
And it's about three boys, basically, that met at a reform school that... well, one of them has left on compassionate grounds because his father's died and he has an 8-year-old brother, and the other two have done a runner. And it's a road trip concerning these three and one of them's little brother, the 8-year-old, who is an extraordinary character. And it's just, and it's not believable at all, but it is, in not being believable, it's incredibly convincing. It's fantastic. It's I look forward to it. It's like getting into bed every time I open it. I just think, oh here we go.
It's a lovely feeling.
It's really lovely. It's a really lovely book. But I do understand some people won't like it. But I do think, you know, when I found out it was the top of the New York Times book of the whatever sales, I just thought, oh, of course it is. Yes, yes. It's a big old, it's great. It's great. It's a real distraction. It takes you somewhere else entirely.
Well, we could do with some of that, couldn't we? Yeah. That sounds great.
Yep. What are you doing for the rest of the day?
I am going to go on my bike because it stopped raining. And
where are you going to go? What are you going to do?
Well, I will probably go into, I like a purposeful cycle ride. So I shall go and do some errands. What I might do is I might go into the sewing shop and buy some material to make a dress. That's what I might do.
That's a lovely idea. I've ordered some fabric which I have to pick up in the Designers Guild. I've got this, it's called Blossom, and it's a pink corduroy for a tatty old chair I'm getting recovered.
Ooh.
I'm very excited about that. It's soft pink corduroy.
Is it plain? When you said Blossom, I'm picturing...
Oh, no, the colour is called Blossom. No, the colour is called Blossom. It's a nice, gentle, lovely, lovely soft pink. Really nice. Very pleased with that. So
you're off on the road tonight. You're off touring.
I'm going to... I better text John, actually, because he hasn't told me what time he's picking me up. And he might expect me to get the bus today. I don't know. I'm going to... I'll text John, see what's going on. And, I've got to... sort myself out, really. And I've got to wash my last night's supper things and today's breakfast things because I've got a broken dishwasher.
Oh, miserable. Annoying.
Miserable,
really,
yes.
Annoying. Right, so emails.
Okay. Emails, yes.
We had a nice email from somebody called Ruth, 66 and 7 months, kiss, kiss. And she's had a cataract operation. And she said the first one, she said, I'm really worried, I'm really scared about this, and I'll let you know how it goes, because actually, you know, of an age, a lot of us will have to have it done. And then she sent a nice email following up, and she said it didn't hurt a bit, and we should tell the gang in case they have to have a cataract. And it was... how pain-free and quick it actually was. Hurrah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well done you. Well done her. Yes, this is from Jo. She's 51 and a bit. Hi, J&J. I only discovered your podcast a few months ago. She's now catching up on older episodes. Just listened to episode 57, which was in week one of the first lockdown.
Blimey.
That's when we pre-recorded questions for each other. And it was the first episode when we weren't in the same room. Judith asked Jenny how she imagined she was going to be at the end of lockdown. And Jenny, you said you were going to become a hugger and such a nice person that we wouldn't recognise you anymore. I just wondered how you feel about that now. It's an interesting episode to listen back to. Joe, I have absolutely no recollection of saying that. None whatsoever. No, and the worst thing is, I haven't changed a jot.
No, of course you haven't. Of course you haven't.
I might have changed a bit and then I've changed back.
Have you? Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I think that's what we've all done. I think for lockdown, we did. We were chilled. We were, exactly. Well, maybe you were a bit of a hugger. No, you've gone back to normal, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely, isn't it? Just revert to type really, really quickly. I mean, I don't think things are back to normal, yes, and I can't wait to get my booster jab because I am anxious again at the moment.
I really am.
Oh, yeah, because I know my immunity is waning.
Well, you can't afford to be ill, can you?
And I've been on trains and things and people aren't wearing masks and I just have to sort of huddle in a corner and all this sort of thing. Just hope for the best and do lots of lateral flow tests, which I do. But, you know, next week I'm going to have I'm going to see a lot more things and go out a lot more and all that kind of take bigger risks.
Are you?
Because because as soon as I feel like I've got more immunity, I feel like I've had to be so careful because even if I wasn't very ill with it, I just didn't want to cancel any gigs.
Well, exactly. I mean,
it's 10 days.
Nerve-wracking.
But the booster jab is going to sort of give me another lease of life, and I really can't wait.
Take advantage of it for sure. Yeah, definitely.
I will. Okay, so, so we've both got our days to be getting on with, so we must do that. I must go and wash up now, Judith, and you must get on your bike. Anyway, we're off and we'll speak to you all next week, and we might have news of a little treat for you all. Well, not all of you, some of you. On a first come, first serve basis. So let's see if that pans out and we can discuss it further next week. Lots of love, Judith. Lots of love to Daisy.
Nice
Thank
to
you
to
both.
Yep.
And I'll speak soon. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Bye.